Good morning. Thanks for being with us today in our worship here at the Waverly Church of Christ. I hope that this message finds you and your family doing well. You know, down through the ages, we have had what I think some might call calls to remember, maybe even battle cries. Almost 2 centuries ago here in Texas, the Texans had their cry, "Remember the Alamo." And then after the beginning of World War II, it was, "Remember Pearl Harbor." And almost 20 years ago, after September the 11th, 2001, it became, "Remember 9/11 or 9/11. For those of us who are Christians, we have our own call to remember. Of course, it's almost 2,000 years old. It is, "Remember the resurrection." The resurrection of Jesus Christ means everything to us. It is that which we must not forget. We cannot forget. Since the angel spoke those words in that tomb so long ago, "He is not here. He is risen. Come see where he was lying." Those words, "The tomb is empty. He's not there," have gone out through the ages. Luke tells us that over a period of 40 days, Jesus appeared in his resurrected form to a host of people. It began with Mary Magdalene there by the tomb. Later that day, it was 2 disciples on their way to the city of Emmaus. And then that evening, behind locked doors, 10 of the apostles. And then from there, it went on and on. By the time you read about some of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul tells us that he appeared to 500 brethren at one time, and to James, and to all the apostles. And then he speaks of himself, remembering those days when he was Saul, the persecutor of the church, on his way to Damascus. And he says, after his conversion, he says, "And last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me also." But let me ask you a question. Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ so important? Why is it important that we believe in it and that we declare it? Well, there are 3 questions that I would like for us to consider this morning, all of them relevant to this. 1 is just that. What if it never happened? What if he had never been raised from the dead, if the body were still there? And then secondly, what is it that the resurrection has to do with our salvation? And finally, what part does it play in our own resurrection? Let's consider the first question. Let's go back and look at a passage of Scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what's often been referred to as the Great Resurrection chapter. And there, Paul makes no bones about it. He's very straightforward as to what it means and the implications that if there was no resurrection, what the implications are for us as Christians. And if you notice there, beginning in verse 14 of that chapter, he begins to list them one by one. And the first group that he addresses is those of us like myself who preach the gospel, who speak about the resurrection of Jesus. And what he says to us is, "Your preaching is in vain. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, then your preaching is vain. Our preaching is worthless." Those of us that have invested our lives in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ have been doing all of this for naught. We will have no success in it because we're preaching a message, if Jesus has not been raised, that is a false message. And then he addresses another group. It's all of us as Christians. And what he says is, "Your faith is in vain." Or as he says 2 or 3 verses later in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15, "Your faith is worthless." Why? Because we have believed in something that is of no value if he never rose from the dead. And then he tells us in verse 15 that we are false witnesses of God. Now he's speaking about those who preach the gospel, but it's true of all of us who would speak about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And simply put, what he's saying is, we're liars. Because we are saying that God did something that God never did, if there is no resurrection. But we know that there was. Something else he adds is that you and I are still in our sins. You know, the purpose of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is that he might set us free from the power of sin. If you look down toward the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you find there in verse 56 and 57 these words that Paul writes. He says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And then he writes in verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 4, there in verse 25, Paul makes a statement that Jesus was raised because of our justification. In other words, God raised him in order to bring about the forgiveness of our sins, to make us just as if he had never sinned or we had never sinned. However, if Jesus never rose from the dead, then our victory over sin has not been accomplished yet. You and I are individuals who are still struggling with that. So that's one question that we've addressed. The second question that I want us to consider is, what does it have to do with our salvation? And there are three things that I think are brought to our minds in Scripture. The first of those is found in a passage that we know familiar, or know as Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And what he's saying there is this, that is that our salvation is in need of the resurrection. It's fundamental, if you will, to our salvation. And as a part of that, before we can be saved, we have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, here's what Paul says. He says that with the mouth we confess Jesus is Lord. And then he says that we also believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. If we do these two things, he says that we will be saved. But we have to believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Over and over again, as you begin in the book of Acts and continue through toward its end, you find that there is a familiar message that is proclaimed, and that is that God raised Jesus from the dead. It begins with Peter in that first sermon on Pentecost. It continues all the way through to Paul as he speaks to those philosophers there in Athens, and even beyond that. But twice in Acts chapter 2, we find Peter saying this very thing, first in verse 24, and then just a few verses later in verse 32. In verse 24, what he says there is this. He says, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death. And then in verse 32, he says, this Jesus God raised up again, a fact to which we are all witnesses. You go over to Acts chapter 17, and you look at Paul's message to those philosophers there in Athens, and you find down in verse 31, right toward the end of the message, God says this. He says that, or Paul says this, excuse me, he says that God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed. And then he makes this statement. He says that God has furnished proof of this by raising him from the dead. The proof that God is going to bring judgment is made true because of God's raising his son from the dead. That son is the one who will carry out that judgment. You and I cannot be saved unless we believe that God did truly raise Jesus from the dead and that he is still alive today. But this idea, this concept that the resurrection is fundamental to our salvation is seen in yet another passage. Over in Peter's first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter makes this statement. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And then he adds these words, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So here is what we see. Our being born again is made possible through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. God has promised us a living hope. He has caused us to be born again to this living hope. But the thing that Peter tells us is that it is only made possible through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me take you to one more passage on this. 1 Peter chapter 3. There in verse 21, what Peter tells us there is this. It is that the ability of baptism to save us is based upon Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Here are the words that he uses. He says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves us, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what Peter does when he says corresponding to that is he is tying in baptism with what he's just mentioned before that. And it has to do with the flood, because he tells us in the verses prior to this that through that flood, through the water that God used to destroy humankind, he also rescued 8 souls through water. And then he says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. But you see, baptism, as he points out here, is our appeal to God for a good conscience and for the forgiveness of our sins. But all of that is made possible through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So here's what we see. No resurrection, no salvation. It is because of his resurrection that you and I, who are Christians, have salvation. One last question. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what part does it play in our own resurrection? Well, let me take you again to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But this time, if you will, look down beginning in verse 42, and we're going to go through verse 44, because here is what we find Paul bringing out. You see, what he does is he compares our death and burial to the planting of a seed, if you will. And he tells us what happens when our body is planted, it's sown. And then he talks about what happens when that body is raised. And as he tells us this, he begins by showing the weakness and the fallacies in our physical body. In verse 42, he tells us that when we die, our physical body is sown, as he says, a perishable body. Well, any of us who have very much age on us at all know that our bodies are not what they were a few years or maybe even many years ago, that we are gradually wearing out. They are becoming weaker. And so it is that this body will be planted. It will be buried as a body that is perishable. It is not meant to live forever. But then he tells us in verse 43 that it is a body that is sown in dishonor. And I know that when we bury our loved ones, we try to accord unto them all the honor that we possibly can, but there is something about placing a body back in the dirt. It seems to take away some of that honor. It's sown in dishonor. He tells us also in that same verse, verse 43, that it is sown in weakness. You know, there's not many people who die while they are still at the peak of their strength. No, usually death comes because the body has just become too weak to sustain itself any longer. So that body is sown in weakness. And finally, he tells us that it is sown a natural body. It is a body that is from this earth. It is earthly. And from the dust we came, and to the dust we're told we will return. But what about the resurrection body? He tells us in those same verses as he compares one to the other. First of all, that perishable body that was sown as such is a body that he tells us is raised imperishable. It will never die. It will never grow old. It will never succumb to the things that we find ourselves having to deal with in these days. That body that was sown in dishonor, he says, will be raised in glory, because the glory of God that raised his own Son will be used to raise us. And we will experience that glory, as we pointed out last week. Number 3, the body that is sown in weakness, he tells us, will be raised in power, because it is no longer a weak body, but it is infused with the very power of God. And the body that is sown a natural body, he tells us, will be raised a spiritual body, a body that is eternal, a body that is like our Lord. All of that is made possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the resurrection is important. You know, our Lord's resurrection is not about the clothing we may have chosen to wear to our various congregations today had it not been for this virus. The resurrection is not about any special program or event that might have taken place. It's not about the eggs that we hide for our children to find. No, the resurrection is about something far more important than that. It is about our victory over death and sin. And that's why we proclaim, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we and I have been granted that victory. And because of that, today and every Lord's Day as we gather together, we should be singing praises to our God because of His great mercy and because He has granted us a victory over all of these things through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's coming a day in which Jesus Himself will descend from heaven with a great shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, as Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. And he says there that those who have died in Christ will rise first. And then he adds that we who are alive and remain, that is, those Christians who are still here upon this earth, he says, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord in the air forevermore. That's a wonderful thought. It is something for which we rejoice. The fact that we will be able to go to our new home where we will be with our Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I have a question to ask you today. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for His return? Because you see, where there's a resurrection, there is going to be a return for Him to raise those who are His. If you're not ready for that day, let me encourage you to make preparations now. Believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who He professed Himself to be, the Son of God, our Lord and our Savior. Repent of your sin, turn away from them. Confess His name as Lord and Savior. And then let Him wash away your sins through baptism so that you can become a new creation in Christ and you can know the privilege of awaiting that great resurrection morning. I hope that today, if you've not made that decision, you will. But thank you for being with us here today. May God bless you and keep you and yours safe during this time. Thank you.